Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome back, Cowboys and Cowgirls, to another Ingles and Ian, presented by CowboysRideForFree.com. And as always, your good friend and mine, Mr. Ian. How are you doing today, buddy?
Doing good. We've done it. Week zero is here, and in 8 days, the Oklahoma State Cowboys will take on the Central Michigan Chippewas, who are on a five-game winning streak, by the way. Third longest in the nation currently.
Yeah, is that really saying much? Like, you know, the only reason Georgia isn't there is they lost to Bama in the SEC title game.
I mean, that's the only way you can. It works. That's just how it is. Just don't question it. Don't think about it. Don't worry about it. It's a good streak that they have.
Yeah, I mean, sure. And they got some, you know, let's see, last year they lost to Mizzou week one, they lost to LSU week three, and Miami, Ohio week five, and then they went out, Northern Illinois in October. Yeah, so they don't exactly have a stellar resume from last year. They just managed to get the easy stuff at the back end of the schedule. But before we get into all this stuff, so I'm a little perturbed right now. So I am one of those schmucks who actually bought one of those pieces of turf that Oklahoma State was selling from the old Boo Pickens turf. And so in my apartment complex, we have a package room. And it's one of those things where all the packages pretty much that get delivered go into that room, right? Which when I first saw it, I was like, oh, that's a neat idea. Not so much when you have 400 units worth of apartments going into one spot. Like, I was looking for that thing for like 20 minutes today. I still can't find it. So I guess go back, rummage around tomorrow and hopefully find something.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah.
That is bonkers, man. I'm sorry to hear that.
And I just hope it actually did get delivered, right? Because, I mean, the UPS said it got delivered. So here's hoping I don't have to like fight for it or not get this, you know, stuff I want. So,
I mean, hopefully you do, man. Cause that sucks.
Got a lot of good memories of watching games on that turf. I wonder if they'll show me like where on the field it was.
Maybe they give you like a photo and it's like right here. That's where it was.
It'll be like we're out of the visitor's tunnel or some BS like that. Oh, well. Yeah, but man, football's here. We got real football starting this week. Oklahoma State starts next week. So that kind of brings me to the first thing I want to cover is, so the Big 12 title odds are out. And I don't know. I mean, Vegas knows what they're doing, but some of these odds are just too thin for me. Like OU at plus 190.
What Texas, side are you looking at?
Oh, where did it pull it from? Oh, it's not saying because I pulled it off another blog.
Okay. I'm just going to pull up FanDuel, but go read off your list.
OU is plus 190, Texas plus 250, OSU plus 450, Baylor plus 650. Like, I'm not buying OU right now. Like, they lost so much offensive coaching talent. I mean, even though he was the head coach, Riley was essentially running that offense. They lost their offensive coordinator and a bunch of other people. Lost two quarterbacks, wide receivers. Like, they're just going to be depleted on offense. And unless their defense in 1 year makes a giant turnaround, they're just not going to be that great. I don't see that. Texas being plus 250 is laughable. Oklahoma State at +450, I think is okay at best. I mean, I think a lot of these odds should be a lot longer for the top three. Baylor +650 makes the most sense. Like, that's when they start making the most sense to me.
Okay, so what I've seen from national media and everything, and if there's anything we should know as Oklahoma State people, OU just win. There's no explanation for it, especially the past couple of years. And I think a lot of people are anticipating that there's going to be no drop-off. And I don't know how to feel about that, because I think they could easily go 10-2 and win it all, or the Big 12 championship, or they can go 7-5, lose to Nebraska, or 8-4, somewhere in that area, right?
You got to remember, like, I don't know how. Okay, so this is according to Caesars.
Okay,
that's where it's from. But I mean, the question is how much quick and early stupid money has moved these lines. So that is something. So I don't know if these are like the exactly where they opened at, but you know, Texas always gets a lot of hype from their, you know, rich fans, and especially there is a lot of hype right now. Second year for Sark and, you know, Ewers and all that stuff. So I get it, but it's crazy to me that Texas is +250.
Well, again, you gotta consider the money coming in, and I think Oklahoma and Texas would be the two teams that would get the most money. So that's why their odds are the two highest. This is on FanDuel.
Mm-hmm.
It's Oklahoma at +190. They have Texas at +300, and then Oklahoma State and Baylor at +550.
Okay, Oklahoma State at +550 sounds a lot better to me. I mean, they're in a 5.5-1 to win, so that's not terrible, right? I mean, we got a lot of question marks, like everybody else, but it's not like we're a 2-1 favorite to win, so. That feels better to me in general, but still, it's just, man, those two numbers are just really big. The one that's interesting to me, if I was going to like take a long shot bet, is West Virginia +3,500. Like a $10 bet there, especially with, JT Daniels from Georgia coming along. And West Virginia, you know, they're decent.
Yeah, I mean, they're decent. I just the Big 12 is so tough to predict this year, because I think you could see, five teams win it. I think you could see Oklahoma win it. I think you could see Texas win it. I think you could see Oklahoma State win it. I think you could see Baylor win it. And I think you could see Kansas State win it. On FanDuel, West Virginia is at +2,000. Kansas State is at +1,200. I think I'd be more inclined to bet on Kansas State than I would West Virginia. That's just me. If I'm like looking at the money, I think OU and Texas, mainly OU. OU is a very safe bet, and I think that's why it's getting a lot of money right now. That's just me.
So you're saying on FanDuel, West Virginia is +2,000?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a big gap, because I'm looking at Caesars right now. They're still +3,500.
I'll go take a look at that real quick.
That is huge.
And then I might look at DraftKings here in a sec just to see how far they are apart.
Yeah, that feels, if one sports book has them, that's a value bet right there. That is an absolute, especially if they're that far off and you're getting an extra 15-1 on your bet. That's really big.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about Neil Brown as a coach. I don't know if I like him or not. So that's kind of what keeps me hesitant. I can't pull it up because I don't have a login there. Let me check DraftKings.
They're normally not that far apart.
Yeah, I thought that was weird that West Virginia was at 3,500. I'll just pull it up on my phone real quick, what the odds are. But I mean, if you were going to go for win totals, I mean, if we want to do that, I'm glad to go down that rabbit hole with you.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't think I see, I don't see West Virginia winning the conference.
Well, I don't see them winning it either, but I feel like the value is there. Like, I don't think they're a 350-1 long shot to win the conference. Are they a 200-1 shot to win the conference? That sounds more reasonable, right? Especially with how random we're expecting the Big 12 to be, because there are so many question marks across the entire conference. So that's what I'm saying. It's worth a $10 or $20 flyer. And if you're right, you make, you know, $7,000. You know, it's not too bad for $20.
West Virginia on DraftKings is at plus 2,500.
Wow, that's some big spreads. Yeah. I wonder if Caesars is just not getting enough action to, like, move the lines. I don't know.
I don't know, man. I mean, we'll see. But you never know. You never really know. So I think at the end of the day, I've changed this, I think, a couple times, but I think my conference prediction is Baylor and Kansas State this year.
Yes, that has been your prediction, and I'll be happy when you're wrong.
I'll get one of them right, because I think that's how that usually goes. I think I'll get one of them right.
Ooh, we can do futures. Ooh. Well, here you go. Tally site has West Virginia, and I don't know who provides their odds. I don't remember. But they're plus 4,000 on Tally site.
And that's something. I think did I pick a couple futures already? Let me see what I did. Okay, so I made these in July, but I picked Baylor as my big 12 champ. That was at 600. Do I go all the way on the Kansas State train? Because I'm very tempted, because I think they're going to be pretty good, but I don't want to overhype them too much. So I think I'm going to stick with Baylor.
Oof, man.
Yeah, okay, so it's like a consensus. So it shows like Bet MGM, Caesars, DraftKings, FanDuel, and PointsBet when you look at the sportsbook odds on Tally.
Yeah, Oklahoma State's ahead of some pretty good teams in terms of the national odds. Plus 8,000 to win the Natty. It's worth a $10 flyer, I think. Wow, interesting. On Tally site, Texas has better odds to win the Natty than OU does. Even though they're... Huh?
I don't think that's wrong. Because if anything, I think I would favor Texas over OU in that scenario, because I just think that offense is really, really good.
Right, but, you know, but they're tied to win the Big 12. Right now right now OU is predicted to win the Big 12 according to their odds.
Well, yeah, that, again, it makes sense. Go with the devil you know, and go with the team, you know, that's won like the four out of the last five.
I didn't know they spread odds this large. The Troy Trojans plus 500,000. That's a 50,000-1 bet.
Well, I saw on FanDuel, it says Oklahoma at plus 450. They have the sixth best odds, and USC is ahead of them by 140. So you can get USC at 340, Oklahoma at 450 to win them. Oh, no, this is to go to the playoff.
Oh, to go to the playoff. Nice.
And Texas is at 900. National championship. Oklahoma's at 5,000. Texas at 8,000.
Wow. Tally site has enough 4,000.
I think that's like consensus, is what that is. I think. I don't know for sure.
So here's the real question. Is this the year that Nebraska finally turns it around?
I think they make a bowl game.
Well, that would be something for them, because you got to figure this is the coach's last season unless they at least do something worthwhile.
I mean, here's the deal. I like Casey Thompson, and I think him going to Nebraska is huge for that program. I think they have pieces. And so, I mean, I'll be honest, the Big Ten East is kind of weak. So I think there's a chance, and I think they have a pretty favorable schedule. I'll look down real quick. I think they win against Northwestern. They beat North Dakota, and they beat Georgia Southern. They're already 3-0 heading into that Oklahoma game. And I think you could convince me that Nebraska could beat OU. Let's say that's a loss for now. Indiana is a win. Rutgers is a win. Purdue, I'm not sure. Let's say that's a loss. They're already 5-2. Illinois is probably going to be a win. So that's 6-2. And then you have Minnesota, Michigan, Nebraska, and Iowa, which I think they could win one of those. So I think they could get to 7-5. They can get to 7-5, I think. And maybe they could be better because they could beat Purdue. You can make a case for them beating Purdue. You can make a case for them beating Minnesota. You can make a case for them beating Iowa. Maybe Wisconsin, I'm not sure. I don't think they beat Michigan, though. So Nebraska's ceiling, I think, is 9-3. And their floor is 4-8. Which I could say that about any team, but I think they're going to go like 7-5 this year.
Okay, so here you go. So I tweeted at our buddy Stats O' War. So the difference between a plus 3,500 and a plus 2,000 is a 4.76% chance to a 2.8% chance. So it's only a 2.2% chance difference, even though it's an extra 15-1. And why is Baylor trending? Did I what?
I'm looking at your picks right now. Those future picks.
I got a homer pick a little bit, okay?
I was just surprised by the Michigan State pick.
I like
and Smarty. The Nebraska pick. You're not gonna go. Ohio State is maybe the best team besides Alabama in the country.
And I also think I misclicked there. Yeah, that was definitely a mistake.
Oklahoma State's a reasonable Big 12 pick. Oh, Michigan State is the Big 10 winner.
The one I took big was the SEC winner.
Yeah, that's not happening. That is not happening whatsoever. Do you think Tennessee can beat Georgia?
I don't know. I like what I've seen out of Tennessee recently. And here's the thing is Georgia, they lost what? I mean, granted, they're always going to be good, but they lost how many off defensive starters to the NFL? I mean,
several.
A lot. I mean, like six, right? Or something yeah. crazy. I mean, that's, you can't.
But it becomes the thing with Oklahoma where they're going to reload.
Well, yeah, but even reloading is like.
That's the whole thing with Oklahoma being as high as they are. Is because they know how to reload.
But here's my thing with OU that is different than most reloading situations is essentially for 21 years, right? It was like a really consistent coaching staff because, you know, it was Stoops, you know, offensive coordinators were pretty much the same. Then Riley came along and then he kept the offense. A lot of it was the same, and now so much of the offensive staff is gone. So a lot of the reload is continuity issue. Like, I think the issue with them reloading this year is continuity more than talent.
Okay.
And they lost a lot of talent, especially like, you know.
I also think they just got a lot of talent back. I can't do the thing where we don't like OU.
Well, yeah,
I know you're not saying that, but I feel like you have to hold them a little higher than you would other teams because you know that they can reload, and I think that they'll reload, and I think they could finish anywhere between.
Right,
well, but I have preseason bowl projections. I have them going to the Cheez-It Bowl, and I don't feel confident about that at all.
Right, I'm just like looking over what they lost in terms of stars and what they're getting back in, and almost all of it is four stars leaving and three stars coming in. I mean, I'm not saying they're not, you know, great. I'm just looking at, you know, just how they are. You know, Mario Williams gone, Caleb Williams gone, T. Roof gone. Jeffrey Johnson, he's coming in. He is a four-star. McCutcheon gone. You know, there's just all these. Cody Jackson, another four-star receiver gone. Plus, you know, they were supposed to have a one or two, like a four-star and a five-star receiver who are supposed to come in that are gone. So a lot of that reload isn't coming in this year. I just, and again, I think this is more of a coaching continuity issue than talent. So I really, that is why I'm just like, are they probably going to be in the top two or three of the Big 12? Yes. Do I see them going 8-4? No. But I just don't see them as this one loss potential college football playoff team. I don't see that because of one talent lost, loss of talent acquisition, loss of coaching staff. You know, losing Riley is going to be a big deal.
I mean, they said the same thing about Stoops, but the program was in a little better shape. And I don't think OU is going to make the playoff. If anything, if they win the Big 12, they'll just go to the Sugar Bowl, and that's that.
If OU wins, if OU wins the Big 12, they'll be in the playoff. Huh?
I mean, I can see a scenario where the Big 12 cannibalizes itself, and then you have like a 9-3 champion. I don't think that's far out of reach.
Yeah, I mean, that is – I could see that as well. But if it's like a one-loss OU, I mean, that's going to be – easy college football playoff.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see.
Well, this is when and where like the politics of the CFP will come in, because I guarantee you, because even though OU will have a better schedule, if it's OU and USC, so say we have something like last year where you got Georgia and Bama, right? Which there's a really good chance that Georgia and Bama could get into the CFP, right? Good chance of that. Then you have, say, Ohio State goes undefeated. They're in. So you have a one-loss USC or, especially for this example, one-loss USC and a one-loss OU, you know USC is getting in. Like, even though OU could have all the better metrics, you know USC is getting in just on the politics and the optics of it all. First season, new coach, da-da-da. You know, ESPN is going to be pushing those buttons for all those storylines. So, yeah. So I could see, you know, if everything breaks right, I could see a one-loss OU not making the CFP.
Yeah. I mean, well, it also, I think it really depends I think Nebraska for them. If Nebraska becomes a big win or not.
Could come down to it.
Yeah. I really think it could.
Right now we're turning into like the general football. Well, I mean, let's look at it. Rice, they'll win. They'll be, I don't know, USC, Stanford, who knows? There's a State of Oregon. The back half of their schedule gets pretty, I take that back. They are pretty, USC's schedule is really weak outside of Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think they beat, okay, don't sleep on Fresno State, brother. Don't sleep on Fresno State. They have a good – I don't think they're going to beat USC, but I think it's going to be a little too comfortable.
Fresno State always plays people tough. Like, they don't generally win, but they always play a hard non-conference schedule. I'll give them that.
So I think USC goes 10-2. I think they lose to Utah and Notre Dame. I think those are the only two – well, maybe there's one mixed in there. But they have Washington State at home. Maybe that UCLA game is that third loss, and they lose two right off, or their last two of the season. That wouldn't surprise me, but I think.
Well, in USC has the UCLA game has trap written all over it, right?
Yeah.
Especially if they're having a good season, you know, if they're like one loss rolling in there, like because one loss USC will be. Say they've only lost to Utah, right? Going to that UCLA mm-hmm. game, you're probably talking a 4-6 slot kind of thing, depending on how everything breaks around it. You know, maybe 8 at the top. That UCLA has trap written all over it.
Yeah. Well, we say that, but if they're prepared for it, like, because that's a rival for them.
Yeah, but you got Notre Dame
yeah.
coming to town. and you know, the especially like I said, if they're rolling in there, one loss, the hype is going to be unreal, you know, especially with just how, you know, how ESPN is just gonna be just doing all sorts of things to USC and hyping them up to, you know, and then they're going to be like, oh, we just got to go on the road, take care of business, UCLA, get Notre Dame at home. That is trap all over it.
I think so. And we'll see down the line. Maybe that game doesn't matter.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. If it does matter, that's when, yeah, that's when the trap. But if they're like, they're three losses going in that game, they won't be as big a deal.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I'll tell you this, Utah. I'm just gonna give you my playoff four right now. Ready?
All right.
Alabama 1, Clemson 4, Ohio State 2, Utah 3. I think the national championships, Alabama and Ohio State. I'm going to go with Alabama, but Ohio State winning wouldn't shock me either, but I'll go with Alabama. Let me go chalk.
Yeah. I mean, I Utah could easily do it. They, you know, they're really good.
It really depends on the Florida game. If they lose that game, I'm no longer that sets the table. Because I think they can out-physical Oregon. I think they can out-physical USC. I think they're better than a lot of the teams on their schedule. So I mean,
Utah proved last year that they're really good.
Yeah. But, you know, in the swamp, that first game.
And there's no telling what Florida's going to be. That's really the hard part about a lot of this is there's been so much turnover and rosters can change so fast that it's hard to tell what Florida's going to be. I mean, they're going to beat San Diego State. They'll beat ASU. They'll beat Oregon. It should be UCLA. They should be USC. The only, like, as things sit right now, the only team that might, like, they should beat every team on their schedule. They will be, I would be shocked if they're not favorites in every single game right now.
Okay. I think there's a list of that. Like the teams that are, there's like an old Brett McMurphy tweet about the teams that are favorites in every single game. I think one of them might have been Utah.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Ooh, man. That Florida-Utah game is tighter than I thought it would be. Utah minus 2.
Okay, so this is from Brett McMurphy. 6 schools projected to be favored in every single regular season game. Air Force, Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, OU, and Utah. Yeah, I mean, look, it's at the Swamp. The Swamp is a very intimidating environment. That doesn't – and also, like, we don't know squat right now. So I don't blame the odds makers for making that bet as low as it is. I mean – Florida at 2.5 is very appealing because they are a home dog. So I do not blame that pick at all. Because when you look at the money line, I mean, Florida is just barely plus 105. I can make a case for both bets.
Yeah, for sure. So let's shift focus a little bit. So Central Michigan, Oklahoma State minus 21. The line I'm curious at is the over under at 58. That seems, well, I mean, it's always weird first game of season, right? Because there's no preseason to really knock off rust.
Mm-hmm.
So the real question is, but you don't expect Oklahoma State's defense to be better. They'll still probably be good, but you don't expect them to be better. I expect their offense to be at least have a better pace than most of last year. So I could see, you know, easily. I also don't see 21 point spread. I could easily see, like, put me in that like 12 to 14 range and I'd be happier taking that line. But even then, if it's, I could easily see like, you know, 38, 30. You know, pretty easily, you know, that kind of score. Maybe, you know, Central Michigan is, you know, scores some in garbage time, but that line to me is interesting.
Let's go ahead and look at, I'm trying to see something real quick. Let's look at the last couple of non-conference game scores. Non-conference.
Okay.
23-16 for Missouri State. This is from 2021. Let's do the math on that. 23 plus 16, that's 39, under. Yep. 28 plus 23, 51, under. 21 plus 20, under.
Well, let's, yeah, but
go to 2020. Tulsa, 16 plus 16 to 7, under. Oh, wait, that's the only one.
Right, well, the other thing is, like, Boise State, you really can't count that. We had one scholarship receiver. Come on. Like, that doesn't really count.
And I,
they just say
they play the game,
right? But looking back at it,
for Missouri State,
that was just bad. That was just bad.
And then Tulsa, what's the excuse there? This game screams under. This game screams like it screams 24-17. Honestly, I'm hammering Central Michigan and I'm hammering the under. I'm doing that right now.
Yeah, I'm doing it too.
I can't trust this team in non-con, man, because I've done that 2 years in a row. That's not worked out.
And the one that's intriguing to me is the backyard brawl. I don't like.
Oh yeah.
It's. I don't know. I don't think West Virginia wins it, but I think it's tighter than 7.5.
Oh no! I think West Virginia wins that game.
Okay.
I think they absolutely win that game. I don't like Pitt this year.
Now it's hard losing your best two offensive players.
Well, and your offensive coordinator now, Pat Narduzzi's like, well, we want to run the ball more, even though your offense with Mark Whippleman took you to a Peach Bowl, made you pretty relevant this year. And despite the fact that you lost to Western Michigan to begin the season, you won the ACC championship. And you want to go away from that. That doesn't sit well with me. I think they're going to lose to Pitt, or not Pitt. I think they're going to lose to Tennessee. I think they're going to lose to West Virginia. And they're going to go into the season. They're going to go into the season 2-2. Go into conference play 2-2.
I mean, I can see that. I that's another one of those teams that I feel like last year was a flash in the pan for Pitt. Like, I really do.
Yeah. I mean, obviously with Kenny Pickett gone and George Pickens gone. Yeah.
So but I'm gonna think they're going I'm gonna to put my money where my mouth is, well, quote unquote money on tally site. So I'm gonna take UTEP at plus 30.5 here.
Those spreads are too big. I hate messing with them. I don't want to mess with them.
Well, I'm going to bet every Big 12 game, well, quote, unquote, bet every Big 12 game like I did last year.
Oh, yeah, I think we need to do that for the.
Right. But, you know,
in that first game, they're going to come out fired up. That crowd's going to be hype, and they're going to beat UTEP soundly.
Well, yeah, but a 28-point drumming isn't 30.5.
Yeah, obviously they're going to beat them by more than. It's going to be like 45-7.
UTEP had a decent year last year.
They did, but they've lost a lot. I mean, I'm not going to disrespect UTEP, the mighty Miners down there, but I think I bet North Texas to win that game against them early on. So I think I'm betting against them two straight weeks. I'm okay with that, I guess. Oh, they lost that New Mexico Bowl. I don't know if I said that they... if they won it or not, but they did not win it. Do we want to do the a 7-on-7 draft?
Yeah, sure.
I will let you make the first pick. And I think I know what this first pick is, so go for it.
I will be taking Brandon Weeden at quarterback.
Oh, I thought you were just going to take Barry Sanders right off the bat.
7-on-7 quarterback's more important.
All right, fair. We'll just screw it. We'll just go.
Do you just want to like talk about our team? Let's just do
position by position. Okay. You're taking Weeden. I'll take Mason Rudolph.
You know who I was really thinking about? Like, if Weeden was gone?
Corndog?
Huh?
Corndog?
Choo-choo. Shelf. I was really thinking about him and also Walsh.
I was thinking about... I was like, man, I want to put Shelf in the fullback position somehow. Make him run, like, wildcat plays. That's honestly what I was thinking. All right. Running back.
No, I took you one.
Snake drafter, because I'm going to take Thurman Thomas anyway. I want the power back in there.
Number one, because I'm going to take two running backs here. So Barry Sanders, number one.
So you're taking the second one.
Oh, no, I can't take two backs in a row. It's your turn to take one.
Oh, okay. I'm just going one. I should preface that when I mean 7-on-7, I'm meaning like they're still tackling each other.
Right. I figured. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Receiver, I'm going to take Justin Blackmon, but I'm going to make him go to AA meetings once a week.
My second running back is going to be Randall. He comes out of the backfield way too well.
Give him a gun. You can't give him, you just have to give him underwear so he doesn't steal it.
Yeah, we're not, I'm not discussing off the field issues here.
So, all right. I'm going to take an O-lineman, Russell Okung.
I'll take Dez at the wide receiver.
Okay. I'm going to go to the defense now. Give me Leslie O'Neal, defensive line.
I'll follow suit. I'll take Ogba, defensive line.
That's a good one. That's a good one. I end up on my list. Give me Colin Oliver.
I'll take Brock Martin.
I'll take Malcolm Rodriguez.
Oh.
I knew you wanted him. Okay. Any other Oklahoma linebackers besides Devin Harper? Go ahead.
I'll say to round up my wide receivers, I'll take Wallace.
Okay, I figured you would. So, thankfully, I can have James Washington.
Good one.
Biletnikoff winner.
Okay, I'm going to jump into the cornerbacks here. Parrish Cox.
It's a good one. It's a good one. Should probably get rid of the – because I have a list. And if you're taking them, then I'm not taking them. So let me just I'll take Tevin Jenkins.
Good one. Yeah, those are both on my list. Yeah, I'm going to be in trouble on the offensive line. I thought we were just like picking our 7-on-7. So I wasn't fully prepared for a draft. But
I'm sorry. I should have.
Sort of on that the offensive line-ish area, I'm taking Pettigrew. A tight end.
Okay. I'm not taking a tight end. I've opted for three offensive linemen. But I'm going to draft a quarterback first. I'm taking Justin Gilbert.
Oh, yeah, Gilbert, man. He's a good one. All right, I'm going to finish out the secondary with Markell Martin.
I like that pick. Probably should go double linebacker because what I've done, my system is three D linemen, one linebacker, two cornerbacks, and a safety. That's my format right now. So for my safety, I'm gonna take Trey Sterling.
Good one. That's a really good one.
I've been on the Trey Sterling bandwagon since 2020. So yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm gonna be taking Ori Lemon for the linebacker position.
Ooh, okay. Okay. Defensive line. Well, actually, let me get that O-lineman real quick. Let me get my guy, Sam Mays. Let me get my guy Sam Mays. O-lineman. It's your turn.
Yeah. Let's see. Defensive line. I'm going Brock Martin.
I think you already took Brock Martin.
Is that right? Did I already take him?
Yeah.
Well, then, you know what? I'll stick with this year with going to be two great edge rushers. I'll go with Colin Oliver on the other side.
I already took Colin Oliver.
Oh, damn it. All right. Like I said, I wasn't prepared full on for a draft, and my knowledge of the line, like, I'm not as encyclopedic about this as I used to be.
Why do you think I took 15 minutes before we started to just look over players?
Okay. Well, I think
I should give you that time. You should just go look at, look it over real quick.
We'll finish this up next week after I have a little bit more time. Parrish Cox.
We're still recording, aren't we?
I'll edit that out.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
They were just barking. They kept barking. How many picks do you need left?
Like three. I'll figure it out later. I don't feel okay. Like doing it right now. We've been recording for a while at this point.
Okay, we'll just do part. Why don't you just edit that out, and then save it for next week.
I'll figure out what I need, and we'll go from there. But yeah, I mean, it's gonna be like I think that like just that Weed and Randall connection would be huge out of the backfield, especially, you know, in that kind of environment.
Man, I like the idea of Rudolph with Blackman and Washington, where he's got the dual threats right there. And then I like that he has protection with Okun and Jenkins. And then also just having Thurman Thomas, I feel like doesn't get a lot of respect that Barry Sanders does. Because I think Thurman Thomas was like, the 1991 MVP of NFL.
Yeah, he's fantastic. It's just, you know, it's Barry Sanders. It's, greatest of all time conversation. Well, I mean, especially for college, he is bar none the greatest college running back ever.
I know he is. And that's why I was willing to give him up for the rest of the team, because I don't know. I probably shouldn't have, but it is what it is.
So this is weird. I'm looking at our special teams depth chart right here. So Tanner Brown is our place kicker and kickoff.
Yep.
Hutton. Sorry, I looked at that wrong. Never mind.
Okay. So Tanner Brown is doing both?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. And then Hutton is holder and punter. And
the goat, Tom Hutton.
Yep. And we're also looking at Bresley. Wait, did you call him the goat?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Uh-uh.
Tom Hutton?
No. Goat, punter, at least in my lifetime, it's Quinn Sharp.
Well, in my lifetime, it's Pat McAfee, so I don't.
Well, I'm talking Oklahoma State. I'm not talking Oklahoma State.
Okay. I've gotten Hutton to respond to a couple of my tweets on Twitter, so makes him go to my
get mind. Him on the show, man. Come on,
you're okay. I don't have that much power.
You just ask him, like, hey, bro.
Hey, come on through.
Well, next time we get together, man,
it's on.
It is.
It's on.
It is going to be game week. I hate that we're playing on Thursday. I hate Thursday games. I hate them. I hate them.
I love it.
I hate it.
I love it. I think Thursday games are cool.
I don't. I've had too many heartbreaks.
I think in general, just having a game on a Thursday, then you're free to watch whatever you want the rest of the Saturday. I think that's great.
But I don't know. It's just something special for me to like get up Saturday morning, turn on the TV, and just like go for it, you know, like love it. Love it, love it, love it. It is really cool. So look at the special teams. Granted, he's third string, but you've got two Presleys on the kick and punt return as the first and third stringers. That's pretty cool to see.
Yeah, I agree. All right.
Maybe that's something we'll do next time is break down the depth chart.
Let's do it. All right. Let's wrap it up.
All right. So next time, honest to God, game week preview. And then we'll break down some positions that we think are interesting. And yeah, it's going to be back to business as normal because football is back. We'll see y'all next time. Wrong button. Stop.